بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue the discussion on the subject of the important lessons for the Muslim Ummah, and we have reached class number 17. And we were talking about the pillars of Islam, and we finished the first two pillars, the Shahada, the testimony of Tawheed, and the subject on Salah as well, the pillar of Salah. Inshallah ta'ala, in this class we will talk about the Zakah. Linguistically, or Zakah is the third pillar of Islam, and it is always mentioned along with the Salah in many places. It is rather mentioned in some 82 verses in the Quran where they come along, it comes along with the Zakah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُ الزَّكَاةِ, perform salah, establish salah, and give zakah. The meaning of zakah, linguistically, is النَّمَاءُ وَالزِّيَادَةِ, increase, growth, and purification. This is the linguistic meaning of zakah. And the legal meaning of zakah is it is a specific right, obligated, an obligated specific right in a particular wealth to be given to a specific people, to specific specific in the distribution or beneficiaries, and as an act of worship, as an act of worship. This is the Islamic or the legal meaning of zakah. So it's an obligated specific right and specific wealth to be given to specific people, the beneficiaries, as an act of worship, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naam. And it is an obligation. It is an obligation. قال الله تعالى وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُ الزَّكَاةِ, establish salah and give zakah in 82 verses in the Quran. 82 verses in the Quran. وقال الله تعالى in Surah At-Tawbah, in chapter 9, verse 103, خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَهِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ. خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَهِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ. This is in Surah At-Tawbah. Take alms from their wealth to purify, or that you cleanse them and purify them, to purify them and sanctify them with it. And also in the agreed upon hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Bunya al-Islamu ala khams." Islam is established upon five pillars: Shahadatu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, the testimony that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's messenger, establishing the salah and giving the zakah. So it is mentioned as a pillar, the third pillar. And also in the hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam about Islam and Iman and Ihsan, Islam was answered by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as to the meaning of Islam. Islam is to testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and Muhammad is Allah's messenger. Wa an tuqima as-salah, and establish the salah. Wa tu'ti az-zakah, and you give the zakah. And also in the hadith of Mu'adh, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent him to Yemen, he told him the first to invite them to is an yuwahhidullah, to single Allah alone in worship. فَإِنْهُمْ أَطَاعُوا and then ordain upon them the salah, and then if they obey you, then teach them that Allah ordained upon them alms to be taken from their rich and to be given, distributed to their poor, as in the known famous hadith of Mu'adh bin Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. What is the ruling on those who withhold the zakah? What is the ruling on those who withhold the zakah? Withholding the zakah is either to withhold it on account of denial. So, if it is done out of denial, then this is kufr. This is disbelief. And the disbelief is not the withholding. It's not due to withholding. Rather, the disbelief is due to denial of this obligation. Except in the case if someone is new to Islam and is ignorant about its pillars. So this is therefore apostasy on account of denial. And the one who denies, then he will be given respite to make tawbah, and if he does that and attests to its obligation, otherwise he will be executed as in a state of apostasy, and an apostate. Now, on the other hand, if the withholding is due to niggardliness, being miser, then the correct opinion is that he does not become a kafir. Even despite that some of the scholars said otherwise. The correct opinion is that he is not a kafir, because it is affirmed from the hadith of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reported by Abu Huraira concerning those who withhold the zakah. Three things whoever does them would enjoy the sweetness of iman in the hadith: to worship Allah alone, or rather the hadith, anyone who hoards wealth and does not pay its zakah, his wealth will turn into sheets heated in hellfire, with which his sides and foreheads will be continuously branded until Allah judges between his slaves in a day which is 50,000 years long. After that, and this is the point of evidence, after that he will either end up in Jannah, in paradise, or Jahannam, or hell. And he will not end up in Jannah unless he is not what? A kafir. So this hadith is evidence for the preponderating opinion that the one who withholds the zakah due to niggardliness, being miser, is not a kafir. Now, the wisdom behind the obligation of zakah. The wisdom refers to the one who gives, and to the one who takes, and to Islam. As to the one who gives, then it nourishes his character, because giving is from generosity and goodness. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in the verse we mentioned earlier, in Surah At-Tawbah, chapter 9, verse 103, خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَهِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّهِمْ بِهَا. Take alms out of their wealth, that you cleanse them and purify them. And also, it expiates the sins. as the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, As-sadaqatu tutfi'u al-khati'a kama yutfi'u al-ma'u al-nar. As-sadaqa, charity, extinguishes the sin as the water extinguishes fire. And as to the benefit with respect to the person who, the beneficiary, it's obvious. And with respect to the Muslims, it is also, with respect to the Muslim or Islam, it is obvious, because zakah will provide a financial institution giving the less fortunate Muslims, providing for their needs. And therefore it bridges the gap between the rich and the poor, Muslims, and fosters love between the Muslims amongst them. And we mentioned that it sanctifies and then invests, therefore, barakah, blessing, in the wealth from where it's taken. And it takes away the ego from the person, selfishness and niggardliness. So therefore the zakah purifies and augments properties and protects against defects in these properties due to the blessings which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put in them. And it purifies the human ego from miserliness and its evil, and from greed. And it's a means to fulfill the needs of the poor, the needy, and the less fortunate. Now, what are the general conditions of zakah? The general conditions of zakah. First, possessing the nisab. Possessing the nisab. What is the nisab? The nisab is the amount of property which makes it incumbent on its owner to give or pay the zakah, provided it's in excess of basic needs. This is the meaning of the nisab. So the person must possess this amount. The person therefore must possess this amount. Second, and secondly, we need to mention here that the nisab differs in accordance with the type of wealth. The nisab, the amount of nisab, differs in accordance with the amount of wealth, or the type of wealth, rather. Now, second condition is the full possession of property. Full possession of property. Third, in addition to the nisab, that it has been held in possession, it must be held in possession for 12 lunar months. For 12 lunar months. Excluded from that are fruits, grains, profit from commerce, and the offspring of freely grazing cattle. So it must be held in possession for 12 months. This is called al-hawl. This is called al-hawl. Remember this term. They're excluded from this are fruits, grains, profit from commerce, and the offspring of freely grazing cattle. This is called al-hawl. Yes. And the fourth condition is Islam. From the shurut, from the conditions of zakah, is to be a Muslim, because it is not required from the non-Muslim. It's not obligated upon him. Some of the scholars conditioned sanity and puberty, meaning adulthood. So they consider that the insane, it's not obligatory on the insane, and on the child whose age is below the age of puberty. Because according to this opinion, they are not held accountable. However, the correct opinion is the saying of the majority of the scholars, that the zakah is obligatory, because the relation of the zakah is relation to the wealth. Its relation is to the wealth, not to the accountability, the legal accountability. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Al-Ma'arij, verse 25, والذين في أموالهم حق معلوم للسائل والمحروم, for the beggar who asks and for the unluckily who has lost his property and wealth. 24, 25, let's have 24 before, because this takes out the meaning. وَالَّذِينَ فِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌ مَعْلُومٌ لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ, and those in whose wealth there is a known right for the beggar who asks and for the unlucky who has lost his property and wealth and his means of living has been strained. And also because of the command of the Prophet ﷺ to Mu'adh bin Jabal when he sent him to Yemen, tell them that Allah ordained upon them charity in their wealth to be taken from their rich to and returned to their poor, thus indicating that the zakah is a financial right, not physical, so as to exempt the prepubescent child or the insane. This is the correct opinion. This is the correct opinion. So, sanity and puberty are not conditions. Also, some scholars had conditioned a condition of the person, the indebted, the one who is in debt, is free from zakah. And the correct opinion that this is not a condition and that the zakah is obligated even if the person is indebted. Now the next topic is the holdings or the wealth, the properties upon which zakah is obligated. The first, gold. Second, silver. And this is comprehensively, meaning covering it being coins, ingots, dust, etc. The third, commercial stocks and commodities. Commercial stocks and commodities. Fourth, freely grazing cattle. Freely grazing cattle. fifth, what's brought forth from the earth. Farm produce, plants, grains, as we will discuss. There are fruits, but there will be also differences in terms of what is what type of fruits upon which zakah is levied and what types that are not. So this is these are the holdings or the wealth, the properties upon which zakah is obligated. Let's talk first about the gold and silver. The evidence for zakah levied on gold and silver is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah At-Tawbah, chapter 9:34. وَالَّذِينَ يَكْنِزُونَ الذَّهَبَ وَالْفِضَّةَ وَلَا يُنْفِقُونَهَا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَبَشِّرْهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. And those who hoard up gold and silver and spend it not in the way of Allah, announce unto them a painful torment. And from the greatest spending in the cause of Allah is the spending of zakah money. And the evidence from the sunnah is in the agreed upon hadith where the Prophet ﷺ said, anyone who hoards wealth and does not pay its zakah, or anyone who holds the zakah of gold and silver and does not give its due charity or its right, except that on the day of resurrection, he will be, his wealth will turn into sheets heated in hellfire. With which his sides and forehead will be continuously branded, and his back. And also in the hadith of Anas, in the letter concerning zakah, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu stated in that which he wrote, وَفِي الرِّقَّةِ فِي مِئَتَيْ دِرْهَمْ رُبْعُ الْعُشُرْ, and in silver, reaching 200 dirhams, there is quarter of a tenth. Quarter of a tenth, meaning in zakah. And also in the gold, from the hadith of Ali ibn Abi Talib, that the Prophet ﷺ said, if you have 20 dinars, then there is half dinar to be given as a due zakah, and any additional amount will be calculated in this manner. And as mentioned earlier, when it's generalized gold and silver, then this covers any form of gold and silver, whether it is coins or dishes or jewelry, as we will discuss shortly, any form or shape, as long as it is from gold or silver. Now, the zakah on gold and silver, when a quantity of gold which is held in possession for 1 year, 1 lunar year, reaches twenty mithqal, 20 mithqal, and each mithqal is about 4.25 grams, so around 85 grams. This is the nisab for gold when it reaches 85 grams. then a zakah of 2.5%, then a zakah of 2.5% becomes due on it. Similarly, a 2.5% is also due on silver. Once its nisab has reached, which is around 600 12 or rather 600 grams around 600 grams 600 grams then 2.5% is due. 2.5% is due on silver once its nisab reaches around 600 grams and kept in possession for 1 year. This is concerning the the gold and silver. Now, with respect to the monetary funds, also these are subject to zakah at 2.5%, and they must be paid out once they reach the nisab. As to the zakah on the jewelry, then there is a difference of opinion amongst the scholars regarding it. First opinion, that it is obligatory. And those who went to this opinion cited the earlier verse from Surah At-Tawbah, chapter 9, verse 34, وَالَّذِينَ يَكْنِزُونَ الذَّهَبَ وَالْفِضَّةَ وَلَا يُنْفِقُونَهَا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَبَشِّرْهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. And those who hold up gold and silver, the money, the zakah of which has been paid, and spend it not in the way of Allah, announce unto them a painful torment. And they said that this is a general evidence. This is a general evidence which covers all forms of gold, whether it's jewelry or so forth, and silver. And also in the hadith earlier mentioned that no one who possesses gold and silver and does not give its right, except that he will be punished in hell, as described earlier in the hadith agreed upon. And this is also general. This is also general. So it covers the jewelry. Also, they took as evidence what was narrated from Amr bin Shu'aib, from his father and from his grandfather, that a woman came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she had she was wearing gold bracelets on her wrist. And he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said to her, أَتُؤَدِّينَ مِنْهَا زَكَاتَهَا? Do you give its or pay its due zakah? She said, no. So the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, أَيَسُرُّكِ أَن يُسَوِّرَكِ اللَّهُ بِهِمَا سُوَيْرَيْنِ مِنْ نَارِ? Do you want Allah to make you wear bracelets of fire? Meaning on the day of resurrection. So she took them off. And she gave them to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, and she said, هُمَا لِلَّهِ وَرَسُولِي. They are for Allah and His Messenger. This hadith is particular to the jewelry, as you can tell. And Al-Hafiz bin Hajar, rahimahullah, said that its isnad is qawi. Its isnad is qawi, meaning its narration is strong. And also it has a supporting evidence from the hadith of Aisha and hadith of Salama, as we will discuss. And Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah, considered it hasan. Hasanahu, rahimahullah, considered it to be good hadith, as its degree. Also, Aisha, radiallahu ta'ala anha, that she used to wear silver rings for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and so he said to her, أتؤدين زكاتهن؟ Do you pay their due zakah? She said no. So the Prophet ﷺ said, هي حسبك من النار. Their punishment in hell is enough for you. And this is reported by Abu Dawood from the hadith of Aisha. And Al-Albani rahimahullah, Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah, authenticated it. And this is also the opinion of Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, and one narration from Ahmed. And one narration from Ahmed. The other opinion is that of Imam Ahmed in another narration, and Al-Shafi'i and Malik, that it is not an obligation. And they took as evidence is a narration from Jabir, from the Prophet, the hadith of Jabir from the Prophet ﷺ, that he said, لَيْسَ فِي الْحُلِيِّ زَكَاةٌ. There is no zakah due in jewelry. And as we can tell, however, that as is known, this hadith raised to the Prophet ﷺ from Jabir, Al-Bayhaqi rahimahullah considered that this has no basis. Rather, it is reported from Jabir, from his saying. And this hadith, therefore, is weak and cannot stand as a proof. Also, they cited that Aisha, radiallahu ta'ala anha, she used to take care of some orphans, nieces, under her protection, and they had jewelry, and that she didn't to pay the zakah on their behalf, for their jewelry. And in response, we say that the relevant thing is that in what she narrated, and she narrated that which indicates the obligation of zakah in jewelry. As to this report, it is either that we say that this is a specific situational case, whereby it's possible that these orphans were in debt, and she thought that the debt prevents from the obligation of zakah. And it's also possible that she may not see the obligation of zakah except upon the adult. And it's also possible that this jewelry, the amount of it, did not reach the nisab, in quantity. So that's why we say this is a specific situational case where these possibilities may arise. Now, also it is reported that the Imam Ahmad rahimahullah said that this was a narration from five of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that they don't see the zakah being obligated on jewelry. As to this point, that this is narrated from five of the companions, the answer is, suppose it is related from 50 of the companions. Then they are not a proof if they are opposed by others. They are not a proof if they are opposed by other opinions from the scholars of the companions. And if the evidences cited earlier as well point in opposition to their opinion, because there are two types of evidences we cited earlier, general and particular, indicating the obligation of zakah. And therefore there is no proof for anyone saying after the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, based upon these general and particular evidences. So therefore, the correct opinion is that it is permissible for women to wear gold and silver jewelry, but they are to be subject to zakah if they reach the nisab and held in possession for one lunar year. This is the correct opinion. Now, gold jewelry is prohibited for men. But silver rings and silver designs on sabers are permissible for men. The second holding is that of merchandise and stocks. Whatever of them is prepared for bartering and trading for profit. Then zakah is due on them. Whether these commodities and merchandise and so forth, whether they are from real estate, livestock, machinery, foodstuff, etc. So if they reach the nisab and they had been kept for 1 year, then a 2.5% of its value must be given out as zakah. And it's also possible or permissible to give, 2.5 zakah in kind. Now, suppose these commodities are not meant for commercial purposes, are not kept for commercial purposes, then there is no zakah obligated on them. There is no zakah due on them. So, it's not the keeping or the possession of these items that is intended here, but rather the profit. Anything prepared for earnings and profits. And this is not particular to gold and silver or freely gazing livestock or in grains or fruits, but rather general. Any property, any wealth that is prepared for earning and profit. So therefore, anyone who has a commodity for sale selling it for profit, then not just for having it for possession. If he keeps it as a possession, then there is no zakah upon that, except that which is obligated in particular to gold and silver, which we covered earlier. Now, the currencies we use, it's dollars, reals, you name it. The preponderating opinion that there is zakah absolutely obligated upon them, whether they are intended for trade or not. Thirdly, concerning the freely gazing cattle. First, it must be from the cattle, either camel, cow, camels, cows, and sheep. And it must be freely gazing for a year or most of the year. Once they reach the nisab. Now, suppose someone may have a freely gazing horse or a rabbit or a deer, then there is no zakah in that unless it is set for trade. Then it will be a commodity for trade. And also if someone has cattle, like for example camels, and it gazes freely, freely graze 4 months out of the year, and 8 months it is fed. You know, regular feed. He buys the regular feed, and then in this case there is no zakah. There is no zakah. However, if freely grazes for 8 months, and it is given the regular feed for 4 months, then there is zakah upon it, because this is most of the year. So therefore, if it is fed most of the year or half of the year, then it is not considered to be freely grazing, and there is no zakah there thereof. Now, what is the nisab? What is the nisab for sheep? The nisab for the sheep, yes. From 40 to 120, there is one sheep. From 121 to 200, there is two. And from 200 and up, is three. And thereafter, a sheep on every 100 sheep. A sheep on every 100 sheep. Now, the nisab for cows from 30 to 39, the zakah is one calf, male or female. From 40 to 59, 1 2-year old. One cow, 2 year old. And from 60 up, two calves. From 60 up, two calves. And what follows, a calf on every 30 cow thereafter. A calf on every 30 cows. And a 2-year-old cow on every 40 cows. A calf on every 30 cows. And a 2-year-old cow on every 40 cows. The nisab for camels, from 5 to 9, the zakah is one sheep. From 10 to 14, two sheep. From 15 to 19, three sheep. From 20 to 24, four sheep. 15 to 19, three. And 20 to 24, four sheep. 25 to 35, 1 year old she-camel, 1 year old she-camel. From 36 to 45, 2 year old milking she-camel. And from 46 to 60, 3 year old she-camel. And from 61 to 75, 4-year-old she-camel. And from 76 to 90, 2 2-year milking she-camels. 2 2-year-old milking she-camels. Two of them. whose age is 2 years each. No. From 91 to 120, 2 3-year-old she camel. And let's go for this then. 91 to 120, 2 3-year-old she camels, two of them. And from 121 up, 3 of the 2 year milking she camels. 2 of the 2 year milking she camels. Now, thereafter, there will be 2 year she camel on every 40 camels. And a 3 year old she camel on every 50 camels. After a 2 year old she camel on every 40 camels, and a 3 year old she camel on every 50 camels. After this, a 2 year old on every 40. And 3 year old on every 50. No. طيب, as to, remember, remember that we said, if they are kept, the livestock, if they are kept for commercial purposes, then a 2.5% is due on them as zakah. Now, the zakah on the what comes forth from the earth, from grains, and from fruits that are measurable by capacity and preservable and considered stable food. On this, there is zakah. If they are from the fruits that are not measurable by capacity, then there is no zakah, like peaches, pears, apples, apricots, figs, because they are not measurable by capacity, nor they are preservable, nor they are considered as stable food. And the nisab on the tax on these items that zakah is applicable upon them, from grain produce, such as also the measurable and preservable, such as dates and raisins, the nisab of these fruits is approximately 612 kilograms. Where did we get this? Because in the hadith, the nisab was mentioned as 5 awsuq. 5 awsuq. Awsuq is a plural of wasaq. And the 5 awsuq are equivalent to 300 of the Prophet sa'. And the measure of the Prophet Sa' is 2040 grams. So therefore, the equivalent would be, one wasaq would be 612 kilos. The one wasaq would be around 612 kilos. And here it is permissible to use various kinds of fruits that may be put together. For example, to complete the nisab, one may put together various kinds of dates, for example, of the same kind. So this is the nisab. Now what is the zakah now on that? The zakah. It is 1/10 of the produce irrigated by rainwater. 1/10 of the produce irrigated by rainwater. Second, it's 1/2 of the produce irrigated by machines, wells, you name it, and the like. This is 1/2. And now 3/4 of the produce irrigated jointly by rainwater and wells or drawn water. As to the timing, is when the grain becomes harvestable and when the fruit is ripe. This is when zakah becomes due. And with respect to every ore, metal or the like that is mined, is subject to zakah of either 2.5% of its value or 2.5% in kind, in case it is gold or silver. Every ore, metal or the like that is mined is subject to zakah of either 2.5% of its value or 2.5% in kind, in case it's gold or silver. And also with respect to the precious metals or minerals, which is known as rikaz, R-I-K-A-Z, which is buried in the earth, 1/5 of the find should be given as zakah, to be given to the poor and the needy, and the finder retains 4/5 of the find. And the finder retains 4/5 of the find. There is no zakah in that which the person needs from his mount, cars, food, house, and the like. Also, that which is prepared for rent from real estate and the like, there is no obligation of zakah in it. However, the zakah is obligated in the rent money if a whole year passes on it. And as to the zakah of the debt, the loan, zakah is due on a loan if the person to whom the loan is given is capable of paying it back. So if he's able to take it from him, so he will make zakah on it each year, or if he receives it, he may give the zakah on it on all the previous years that was in the possession of the person to whom the loan was given. However, if the loan was with someone if in the case the indebtor is poor, then the creditor may give out the zakah on such loan upon receiving it, calculated as though it was possessed for 1 year only, if it is within the nisab level or over. The people who hold shares, prepared for trade, then there is zakah on these shares. If a whole year passes on it, like the other commodities prepared for trade. However, if the sharing in the property is only intended for rent, then the property, in that sense, there is no zakah in it. However, the zakah is in the rent money if it reaches the nisab and a whole year passes on it. The profits gained from the capital, it's not conditional to have 1 year pass on it. Rather, its hawl follows its principle. Now, money spent to build mosques or in any charitable work, there is no zakah upon it if a whole year passes on it. Similarly, the properties that no one possess, like those present in with the charitable organization or funds. If they are not possessed by anyone, inshallah, in the next talk we'll talk about the dispensing of zakah and the beneficiaries of the zakah funds. We leave that inshallah for the next topic. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.